look up and lift up your heads. Why? For your redemption draweth nigh. Write this down. All of us are living in the last lap, but some of us, write it down, will be leaving in the last lap of time. Write that down. Some of us are going to be leaving in the last lap of time in a very supernatural way. Go to 1 Thessalonians with me. I want to show you this scripture text. Many of us are familiar with this. I certainly wasn't before I got saved. But once I got saved, I became very familiar with this text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you are taking notes, there is one thing about the last lap that no other lap has. It's the finish line. All right? If you're taking notes, it's the finish line. And what a finish God's people have if we're alive and remain when Jesus Christ returns. Look at what's said here in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. He says this, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." Notice the word brethren tells us he's talking to people who are saved. They know Jesus as their Savior. "Concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope." He now shows you what sleep means in verse 14. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus." These are people that died. They were already dead when this was written. And people say, well, what's going to happen to them when the Lord comes back? He tells us, he says, "Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Watch verse 15. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." Isn't it good to have God's word on something? Amen. Heaven and earth pass away, but God's word will never pass away. "That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Now here it is, here's us. Verse, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up." That's where the word rapture comes from, caught up. "Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And look at this, he says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." You know, this morning, all of us, whether we're lost or saved or living in the last lap of time, whether you believe it or not, we're there. We're so close to the return of Jesus Christ. But some of us are going to be leaving in the last lap of time in a very supernatural way. You know how fast that occurs? Scripture says it occurs in the, what is it? Twinkling of an eye. Twinkling of an eye. That's how fast the return of the Lord's going to be. The twinkling of an eye. How fast is that? I mean, you know, really, if you could just bring the scientist out of you and just, or mathematician. Well, it's faster than light can bounce off your eyeball. Well, how fast does light travel? Anybody know? You have to have the guy that gets it down to the, I mean, to the mile. I'm content with 186,000 miles per second, all right? 186,000 miles per second. You weren't homeschooled, obviously. All right. We homeschooled all of ours. We paid the right to say that. Amen. 186,000 miles per second. Young people, younger people, okay? What that means, if you went out there and turned your flashlight on for 1 second under the starry sky, the beam was powerful enough to keep going, you went 1/1,000 and then shut it off, that beam, if unobstructed, went 186,000 miles in that single second. You know what that tells me? The return of Jesus is faster than the blink of an eye. It's a faster than you can blink your eye. Blink, blink, faster than you can blink your eye. You ever had a blink of an eye experience? See, this is the first time your pastor had me preach here. Right now he's going, what is he going to talk about? You ever had a blink of an eye experience? I remember my first blink of an eye experience. I was a sixth grader. A seventh grader suiting up for junior high basketball game. And I remember that day on Friday, my right side was hurting. And as the day progressed, it just got worse. Till finally, here I am suited up for the game and I can't even walk. I'm stretched out on the bench down in the boys' locker room. My dad's been called by the coach. They come and poke around and found out I had appendicitis. So off to Glencoe Memorial Hospital. In good old Minnesota, Yahyabetcha, I went. Now, I had all kinds of stitches all over me, but I'd never been put out. So I remember the nurses got me all scrubbed up, and the last thing that happened, the little anesthesiologist came, and this is what she said. She said, "Now, young David, Funk, I'm your anesthesiologist, and I'm the one in charge of putting you under so they can cut you up." I said, "Great." And she said, "Right here, I put that in, and this is the anesthetic, and when I pull the pin, that's going to go into you, and within a matter of seconds, it's going to knock you out. There'll be nothing you can do to stop that." And I said, "Is that right?" You know, this is the firstborn alpha here, you know. He said, "That's right." I said, "I'll bet you I can keep that from knocking me out." She said, "No, you can't." I said, "I'll bet you." She said, "I'll tell you what, we'll play a game. When I say go, I'm going to pull that pin. And you out loud, by one, start count from 100 backwards. And before you get to 90, this will knock you out." I said, "Is that right?" She said, "That's right." I said, "Game on." You know, my whole life's in the balance, but we're going to go out with a bang here. You know, this is how I think. She said, "You ready?" I said, "I'm ready." I said, "You ready?" She said, "I'm ready," she said with a little smile. "On your mark, get set." And she said, "Go," and pulled that pin. And I began to count out loud, 100, 99, 98, 97. I could start feeling that medication going in my mind. 96, 95, in between 95 and 94, thunk. It put me out. They did their chop suey, and I woke up in a dark room, elevated bed, somewhere else, going 94, 93, 92. Where am I? When Jesus Christ returns, that will be how quick his return will be. I know people that if I asked them right now, "If you're 100% sure you died right now, you're 100% sure you go to heaven and be with the Lord?" "No, preacher, I'm not. I haven't settled that yet. I hope so, but I don't know." But you know, when I start to see things get a little more and somebody says, "Here he comes," I'll be sure to get that settled. No one's going to have time to even draw back a breath to pronounce, "Here he comes." This is your warning. If you don't know for sure, and most Midwesterners didn't when I grew up, we hoped, we didn't know. And yet 1 John says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." If you just hope you're getting it, you don't know you have it, I will promise you this is something you want to get settled before Jesus Christ returns. Scripture is very clear when he returns that if you've rejected him willfully, you will be strong delusion sent. You'll believe the lie. You'll be damned forever because you did not settle that truth when you heard it. It'll be the twinkling of an eye. Boom, just like that. You're here as a saved person and you got sin in your life. You say, "Man, I need to get that handled. I don't want to be ashamed when he comes back." Now's the time. Amen? It's that fast. All of us are living in the last lap. Some of us are going to get to be leaving in the last lap. But here's the thought. Flip your notes because here's what I'll close with. None of you today needs to be losing in the last lap of time. None of us today should be losing in the last lap of time. I want to just say this as a runner. It's bad to lose in a race, but it's really stinging when you lose in the last lap. Amen? I mean, you hear the Galatian believers hear this. "You did run well," the Spirit of God through Paul said. "You were doing so good. What happened?" And I come through churches every 2 to 3 years. I preach at a church, and there'll be times I ask the preacher, "Hey, how's so-and-so doing?" They always sat right there. "Oh," he said, "the head, they, you know, they're off chasing something else. They're not serving the Lord." And I literally say this to myself, "Are you kidding me? This close to the return of Jesus Christ, you served him faithfully for all those years, and just before the finish line, you bail." It's awful. You were doing so well. What happened? Let's recognize the last lap. This isn't in your notes, but I think it's worthy of noting. Every last lap has three distinct characteristics that are the same. Whether it's a literal lap you run in a race, whether it's emotional laps, whether it's spiritual laps, or the one I'm talking about. Number one, the last lap is always the most distracting lap. What do I mean by that? That's when the stands light up. That's when all these voices start screaming for everybody on the track. Look across America today. There are a lot of voices screaming for your attention right now. Y'all with me? There's good political voices and bad political voices. There's moral causes, immoral causes. I mean, there's a lot of distractions going right now. Y'all with me? And you and I need to be careful we don't get distracted in the last lap of time. Number two, the last lap is also the most exhausting lap. Could I get an amen there? Any of you that are runners? Man, look across America today. I have one word to describe what's going on. It's exhausting. This is exhausting. Good is evil. Evil's good. Let me just say this. If you cannot get male and female right, you probably are not going to get much else right. Could I just say that? That's not a political statement. That's just good old farm boy common sense. You got bulls and you got heifers. Amen. I don't get it. And this is the crowd that tells us global warming is real. All right? They don't even have male, female. Don't get me started. I'm just like, it's exhausting. I'm going, are you kidding me? What's next? My imagination can't even grab it. But the last lap is also this. The last lap is the most intense and painful lap you're ever going to run. It's the one that's going to hurt. Let me just talk to God's people and say this. If you think it's going to get easier to serve Jesus before he returns, you are sadly mistaken. It's going to get painful. It's going to cost you something. You're going to have to dig deep and walk with him closely in this last lap of time. And three things I want you to grab here. Number one, this is important. Don't be losing in the last lap. You say, what is it I could lose? Number one, I wrote it in your notes. Christian, don't lose your focus. Christian, believers, those of us that have made peace with God through the blood of Calvary, don't lose your focus. Go to Hebrews 12 and look at the focus every one of us is to maintain all the way to the end. Hebrews 12, look at what's said here in Hebrews 12 and verse number one. Two verses. Christian, here's your focus. Hebrews 12, verse one. He says this, wherefore, Hebrews 12, 1, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, the saints that went before us. Now let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And notice those next three words. He says this, say them out loud with me, looking unto Jesus. Say them again. Looking unto Jesus. This is not a race for salvation. That race already got run by Jesus Christ, and he already declared it's finished. If you're looking for something to do to bribe your way into God's heaven, you're 2,000 years too late. It already got done in Jesus Christ. This is, through the believer, the race of service. And in this race of service now, this last lap of time, believers, don't lose your focus. We're to be looking unto Jesus. Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say looking unto the government. Could I get an amen there? Amen. He doesn't say looking unto the news. Could I get an amen there? Prior to all the electronic age coming out in my early years as an evangelist, on Mondays I would go out in town, find a coffee shop, and buy something that ought to be in a museum today. It was called a newspaper. I would buy a USA Today. I liked it because it had color. Marines like color. You know. And I'd go to the coffee shop with my Bible, and I'd sit down on that Monday with a pocket full of tracts. It's a target-rich environment for witnessing. It's the Mars Hill of our day. I'd have my Bible here. I'd have my USA Today here. And I'd go to the Bible. Then I'd go to the USA Today. I'd go to the Bible. I'd read some more. And one day, an old guy, I'd never met him before, never met him since. He kind of looked like you, brother. All right? The 186,000 plus are there, miles per second. He had his cup of Joe, and he came up, and he looked at my desk with the Bible in the USA Today. And then he snorted and he said these words, well, that's good news. And he pointed to my Bible. And he said, and that's bad news. And pointed to the USA Today and then just walked off. And I remember as I watched that guy toddle off, I thought, well, now he nailed that, didn't he? You know, you want to get all bound up about things you can't change? Flip on the television and watch your news, amen? You want to be sucking down Maalox and getting an attitude toward people? Turn on your television. It's full of bad news and drama, 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 drama. You want good news, you open up and focus on the Word of God. Amen. God says to every believer in this last lap of time, you're to be looking unto the author and the finisher of your faith. His name is Jesus Christ. You're not to be looking to Fox and CNN and MSNBC. You're not to be looking to political parties, Democrat or Republican or independent. This isn't to be your focus. Your focus is to be the Word of God. You're not to be looking onto talk radio. You're not to be looking onto Facebook. You're not to be looking to the markets. Has that been a fun run in the last 4 years? That's been a roller coaster ride. You are to be what? Say it with me. Looking unto Jesus. I wrote a couple profundities down because we need this. We need to keep our focus. We're in the middle of the silly season right now. Y'all with me? And all of us have picked one side or the other. Just know how this goes. But you and I need to recognize, number one, Christianity does not need to be appreciated in America to advance. Right. We do not need freedom to be fruitful. Our freedom comes from Jesus Christ. And don't look at me weird. Marine Corps, Ronnie Reagan. Hoorah. I love America. But you and I need to recognize that in the day we're in, we as American believers do not need a seat at the table of power to persuade men and women to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And for far too long, American Christians have literally petitioned Congress more than Jesus Christ. Daniel 4:17 says this, that God deals in the kingdoms and affairs of men, and he gives those kingdoms to whomsoever he will. And just so you know, he knows, even to the basest of men. You visit heaven today. You know what you're not going to see up there? You're not going to see God pacing heaven, worried about who's going to win the presidential election, sucking down Maalox, all fretful. Our God is a sovereign God. You can write that in your notes. He deals in the kingdoms and affairs of men, and not one president comes to power without our God's permission. Even oppressors come to power with his permission. But not one government official, not one judge on the bench, not one senator, not one governor, not one single representative comes to power or stays in power any longer than our God allows. The song is true. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. My God reigns. My God reigns. If our Father's not pacing heaven, the children don't need to pace earth. And if you're disappointed in the elephant or the donkey, try following the lamb. Of his kingdom, there shall be no end. Amen. I told your pastor yesterday, as you look across America, it looks like the whole world's falling apart. And yet, from the perspective of this last lap of time, the world is falling into place. It's all coming together for the return of our King. Amen? Christian, don't lose your focus. our God is a sovereign God. Second of all, our God is a good and gracious God. If you're taking notes, don't take your eyes off of this. This Jesus Christ, he's a good and gracious Savior and a good and gracious God. Listen to this. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him, like boarding a ship, should not perish, but instead have everlasting life. I planted my daddy in the ground 4 months ago, 5 months ago. Passed away on Valentine's Day, 89 years old, a Navy seaplane radioman, an engineer. He always said of Mount Rushmore, there's three surveyors and then there's that other guy. That's what a surveyor says. Abraham Lincoln was the other guy. The other three were surveyors. Dad got saved 8 years after I did. You want to hear that story? You come back tonight. It's amazing, the grace of God. But it was such a privilege to not just have a celebration of life, but for my father, a celebration of eternal life. Our God is not the God simply of happily ever after. He's the God who through Jesus Christ brings happily forever after. All sin for all time, forgiven forever, and his kingdom is ours. Our God's a good and gracious God, amen? He's the God of the happy ending. Don't lose your focus. Number two, I wrote it for you. In this last lap of time, I'm talking to believers, don't leave your first love. Don't leave your first love. You don't lose it, you leave it. I remember hearing of D.L. Moody, if some of you know who D.L. Moody was, and many, they took the gospel to the gypsy camp. Many gypsies got saved. One of them became a very notable preacher. His name, Gypsy Smith. Gypsy lived about the age of 84, and late in life, preaching one of his final sermons, an elderly man came up to him after the message, and this is what he said. He said, Gypsy, we were both young men decades ago, and I heard you when you preached one of your first sermons you ever preached. And your passion for Jesus Christ was incredible. Your love for him just lifted me up, put me on the mountain. I was just taken by your passion and your love for Jesus Christ, and now we're both old men. And I came to hear you one more time. And Gypsy, nothing's changed. Your passion for Jesus Christ is undiminished. Your love for him is just palpable. And it, once again, it affected my heart and it lifted me up. And then he asked that million-dollar question. He said, Gypsy, what's the secret to your passion and love for Jesus Christ, even in later years? This is what Gypsy said. And the late Alfred Smith wrote a song by this title. I heard him sing it. He said, Sir, I've never lost the wonder of it all. I've never gotten over why he saved me. Heaven would be better without me. People would have done better without me. I've never lost the wonder of it all. Can you remember when you were newly saved? When your faith found that resting place in Jesus Christ alone and you woke up that next morning going, man, my eternity is secure. Heaven's my home. All my sins are forgiven. I remember those honeymoon days and weeks and months, even years, falling asleep, reading my Bible. Just it was everything. And you remember how you started. You couldn't believe all your sin was forgiven. But somewhere along the hurts of life, the disappointments, time, Jesus saves is just a box for you that got checked. You no longer thrill to those words. Jesus saves. He saved me. It'd do us well to turn our electronics off. It would do us well to open the Word of God. It would do us well to get into the closet and say, Lord, would you remind me again where I could have been and what I had coming? Would you remind me again of what I really deserve? And Lord, how you gave me mercy and then grace. And I didn't deserve the kingdom. Lord, would you just remind me again and make me get in awe and wonder of what you did for me the day you saved me from all my sin? Christians, don't lose your focus. Don't leave your first love. And then I wrote this down. don't forsake your faith. Don't forsake your faith. You say, can a Christian do that? I mean, can they walk away and play hooky? Though they belong to him and forever his child, can we get out of the will of God? Well, Paul made it clear, Demas hath forsaken me. Well, what caused that? Having loved this present world. Oh, that song, oh Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end, says this, I hear the world beckon. It's offering, it's offered to me. It calls me. It calls me. You know what American believers have a struggle with? We're not happy with one heaven. We want two. Amen? Like the old candy that used to pull your fillings, the now and laters, we want a heaven later, but we want one now too. We want to be happy now. We want good things now. Y'all with me? I mean, prosperity is, it struggles to be a friend with the gospel. Amen? And if we're not careful, we'll throw the kitchen sink at this life, and it'll be to the detriment of the next. Amen? We're all living in the last lap. Scripture's so clear. Wow, these are exciting days. We get to see the return of Jesus Christ. Wow. All of us are living. Some of us are going to get to be leaving in the last lap. But none of you today needs to be losing in the last lap. Don't lose your focus. Don't leave your first love. Don't forsake your faith. And if you're not saved, don't lose your soul. Scripture's clear. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and then loses his own soul? Your soul's worth more than Elon Musk's millions. It's worth more than Bezos's billions. You only got one, and Jesus died for every bit of that. And don't be a fool and say no to Jesus Christ to the detriment of your eternity. And as I close, go to 2 Timothy. I want to just give you this. Just as little thought, there's so much here, and it's not normally my style to bounce through scripture. I love to exposit it. I love to work my way through text. But just this morning, this thought was on my heart. And I said, Lord, I wasn't planning to preach it. It was just on my heart. And this is what the Lord told me to tell you. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul's getting to the end of his life. And notice, he knows it. The Lord showed him. He's getting there. He's going to go home soon. He's in the last lap of his time. And look at what he says in 2 Timothy 4:6. He says, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. He knows he's finishing up. He's coming to the finish line. And then he does something unique. He looks back at his life. He pulls it all forward and he summarizes it and he says this, I have fought a good fight. That's a soldier's statement. Sir, mission accomplished. Aye, aye, sir. I did what you called me to do. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. That's an athlete. I ran it to the finish. I didn't pull up short. I poured it on and finished the finish line. And then he said, I've kept the faith. What's that? That's an accountant. That's a steward. He didn't cook the books. He stayed faithful to the end. I remember years ago being invited to a college graduation, Bible college graduation, by a young lady we'd met in Germany when we toured Germany preaching at the churches and singing. She became an unofficial adopted daughter. Her name's Rachel. She graduated, and so she invited us in, and Mom and I went, Deb and I went. Of course, when I come into those big arenas, the big facilities, it was a big facility, a Bible college facility. I always like to get up in the balcony. I'm a pilot. I like to look down at stuff, you know. So I got up in the balcony, and I saw rows and rows and rows and rows of graduates. You could tell they were the graduating class. They all had the same cap, the same gown, you know, all the same colors, a few hundred of them. And as I'm scanning the backs of the heads of all these graduates, there was this one guy that stuck out like a sore thumb. Because you got all this youth, and there's this gray head underneath a mortarboard. I remember when I saw that, I elbowed Deb. I said, what is that old coot doing here? I mean, he got in the wrong line. And you know how in graduations they have the valedictorian come up and give a speech? None of us saw that one, right? Salutatorian, yeah, we didn't see that one either, you know? And then other notables, well, of all of them, he was one they picked. And I still hear him. I still see him. He toddled up to the thing. He was in his mid to upper 50s, which now to me is looking young, but anyhow, for what it's worth. At the time, that was old. And this is what he said. He said, I imagine that many of you are wondering what an old guy like me is doing graduating from Bible college with all these young people today. As soon as he said that, I looked at Deb. I said, yep, that's what I was wondering. He said, well, I came to Christ late in life. Unlike all my classmates who settled that search early, I settled it late. And I'm glad I did. And unlike all my classmates graduating with me today, I don't have a lot of life left. They've got a whole life ahead of them. I've just got a little bit. And so people have said, hey, old man, why are you spending all that money? Why are you getting a college degree? Why are you learning your Bible like that? You don't got a lot of life left. He said, because for me, it's just about finishing well. It's just about finishing well. Man, when he said that, my heart just jumped. Because can you scroll back through the hourglass of your life? And can you say after you got saved, there were some laps you ran that weren't good laps, and you wished you could have gotten a redo? Could I get an amen there? Could I get an amen? It could have been a decision you made. You went, what was I thinking? Could have been a sin that dominated you, that had no business dominating, but it did. It could have been just the far country for a while, playing the prodigal. I don't know, but I know this. You cannot turn that hourglass. It's not that little game you can do it. It just sits one way, and those grains are gone. You can't go back and do that redo. But you know what I know you can do? With what grains you got left, with what's there, you can choose from this moment on to finish well. You can finish well. Yeah, you can. You say, what does that mean? It varies for everybody. If you're not saved and you do not know for sure your sins are all forgiven, finishing well for you is getting saved. It's a Bible word. Getting saved. You got to be born again. You got to be born again. You got to be saved. Finishing well for you is getting saved. Amen, if you're not saved. If you're saved and you're in the far country, you're here, you really would rather be somewhere else, but you know, everybody expects that you're here. But really, your heart's somewhere else. You know what finishing well is? Get back in the game. Get back in the race. Come on, our King is coming. This is the last lap. I learned something about the last lap. You got nothing to lose. Pour it on. Leave it all on the field. Amen? Don't have a lot of time left to serve. For you, maybe it's turning from sin that's dominating. Crumbling at Calvary. Finishing well. I don't know, but I know this. That is what God wants for you. Whatever just went through your mind, something went through every single mind here when I said finishing well. You thought of something. You thought of something. And that is what finishing well is. The Spirit of God tapped you with that and said, that's your finish well. That's your finish well. You're going to fight it, or you're going to turn and embrace it and drop your pride and beg God to help you finish well. Amen? You're going to do one of two things with what just flickered through your mind. You're either going to fight it and lie about it, or you're going to yield to it. My heart, just yield. Amen. You're not saved, get some help. You're not right with the Lord and you are saved, get some help. Amen. Finish well. We're all living in the last lap. Some of us get to be leaving in the last lap. None of you here today needs to be losing in the last lap of time, by the grace of God, finish well. Let's bow our hearts before the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just for a moment, I want to ask you today, where are you in the message? Where are you in the message? You say, preacher, you keep talking about this salvation thing like it's something you can know. Before you die, it's a settled thing. You can know you have eternal life. And preacher, I don't know I have it. I've been a good person. I've tried to do what's right. But if you ask me right now, one-on-one, you ask me, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? I don't know that for sure. The Bible says you can. The Word of God says you can. Religion won't tell you that, but the Bible does. And you're here today and you say, man, I'm just not sure. But I'd like you to pray for me. I'd like you to pray for me. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Listen, I don't work invitations. I've learned a long time ago that's the Spirit of God. But I want to pray for you. And here's what I promise. If you acknowledge you need prayer, I'll pray for you. And then I'm going to ask you in the next 2 to 3 weeks, find somebody who's saved and have them show you how they got saved. All right? That's my deal for you. I'm going to pray for you, and then you're going to promise in the next 2 to 3 weeks, you're going to get help from somebody, show you how to make peace with God. So heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Say, I don't know for sure. I'm saved. Preacher, I'd like you to pray for me. Just look up and catch my eye, and then look back down. I'll acknowledge that, and I'll pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to call you out, but I want to pray for you. You say, preacher, I'm just not sure. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? Just look up. Just look up for a moment. Catch my eye. I'll pray for you. I'm not going to call you out. I'll pray for you. Appreciate your honesty. And somebody else, I can pray for two just as easily as one. I'll pray for you. Would there be another? Say, preacher, pray for me. Just pray for me. I'm not sure. I'd sure like to know for sure, but just pray for me. Would there be another? Say, pray for me. Pray for me. I'll pray for that one. I was 18 when I got saved. I'm glad somebody prayed for me, man. I had people praying for me. But then maybe you're here this morning, you are a believer. Is your heart right with God? Oh, Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. That verse says the world beckons and calls. You've decided to follow him. Finish well. Finish well. Father, thank you today for this thought. And Lord, as we bow our hearts, I pray for that one that's not sure. Pray that, Father, you would work in their heart, that you would open their eyes to the truth that Jesus saves and he can save them. And then, Lord, I pray they get some help. We're closing out time. Eternity's beckoning. Your son's return is so close. And I pray for that soul that they would get help. They just ask for help. Have someone show them how to make peace with you through your son. Lord, for your people today, I know so much in this last lap is distracting us. So much of us calls to us. It's exhausting. It's painful. Lord, help us in the midst of all of that pain and exhaustion, intensity and distraction to keep our focus on the author and finisher of our faith. Help us, Lord, to start our day with the Word of God and nothing else. No electronics. Lord, to reach for your Bible first, to reach for your Word, and to turn our heart up towards you. Help us, Lord, even as your people, to keep our focus, not leave our first love, and not to forsake our faith. Help us to finish well, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a song together.